Well, interesting. Brian talked about Malachi chapter 3. And let's go to get myself set up here. Okay. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Let me read this to you. Bring part of the tithe. No. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And then he has the courage. He's God, so he has courage. He says, test me in this. Bring the whole tithe, test me in this. And see, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. I don't know if you remember when I preached a while back on Noah. It talked about in Genesis that when the floods came up from the from the ground, they just popped up. And think of how much water ended up on the earth. Now take that vast amount that you can think about, and if the floodgates of heaven were opened up, how big would that be? So let's consider this promise from Malachi. The tithe belonged to the Lord according to the Mosaic law. It was his. It wasn't theirs. Therefore, when people did not give the tithe to the Lord, they were guilty of robbing God, since what happened is they kept back what belonged to him. You know, I never want to be accused of robbing God. And I want to make sure that you and I both give the full tithe to God. Because we give our tithes because he demands it. So today we're going to talk about stewardship. And for some of you, that word is just like mumbo jumbo. It's way out there. So stewardship implies that everything that I have, it actually first belongs to God. And we want to be good stewards by managing our resources well and in a way that pleases God and not be wasteful. Well, another way of looking at this is to call yourself a trustee. And a very interesting author by the name of Leonard Sweet, he wrote the book called Soul Salsa, and you can see how it's sort of like this, and it's not about dance, okay. That was a joke. But he prefers the name trustee over stewardship. And here, if you can read with me, a trustee ethic is based on receiving for oneself a portion of what is God's. Trustees are the legal entities of an institution or a state. See, trustees own nothing, but they are legally accountable for everything. It's an interesting take on what is already true of our finances that already belongs to God. And it's about how we are taking care of something that really isn't ours from the beginning. Well, let's stop for a minute and take it a little more simple. Tithing. Well, what does that mean? Well, to know how much to tithe, we need to do a little math. And right now, this section over here, the young section, it's going, right? And some of you maybe were like, oh, I used to do math. And oh, I just did not like that subject. But for some of you, math is truly harder for others. So let's get really simple here, okay? The tithe means to give 10% of your income. Whatever you make, the job you have, whatever you do, and you get paid for it, you need to tithe on that money. So to know how much to tithe, we need to talk to parents, first of all. And I'm going to talk a little bit here and there just to you parents at times, because it is super important for you to start teaching your children, when they start getting some kind of a job, teach them how to tithe. That's the first thing you need to do. Okay, so if I make $20 on my part-time job, how much do I give to God? I give him $2. Well, Pastor Nicole, how did you come up with that? Like, really? Like, come on. They're just kids. Like, if they babysit once in a while, do they really need to tithe on that? Well, yes. Well, my son, he just cuts lawns for the neighbor, and they just give him a little bit of money. Well, do we believe that everything belongs to God? Yes, then he should tithe on cutting the lawn. Well, what about a paper route? Yep. Okay, well, what if I make more than that a week? Let's say I make $150 in my part-time job. Then, students, I need to give how much? $15. Wow, they're really excited this morning. I think they're not quite awake. $15. Well, how do you work out the tithe? You know, you might say, I'm not really good at math. Okay, so you take the whole amount. Let's say you make $1,000 in a week. And all you have to do is move where the decimal is over one spot. Now make sure you move it to the right place. You move it to the left. So it's a smaller amount. So $1,000 becomes $100. $2,500 becomes $250. And you know what? For those of you who go, oh, I just work it out on my calculator or on my phone. Well, let's do that right now. Okay. So if I must use my calculator, I put in $1,000 because that's what I make. And I multiply it by 10, and then I push the percent sign. Gotta love that percent sign. And then you push equal. And it's gonna tell you $100. I make 1,000, I give 1,000, or I give 100. Wow, I'm awake. I had my coffee this morning. Well, there's another scripture to back this kind of giving, and it's found in the New Testament in Luke. And Luke 6, verse 38, it says, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. Normally, I don't like things poured into my lap, but a blessing from God that is poured into my lap, I'll take. See, in 1995, and yes, I'm dating myself, but in 1995, there was a fantastic singer. His name was Ron Canole. Some of you might remember him, but whenever I read that scripture verse, I always think of this song. And I'm going to read out to you. Hopefully, you can read with me. He wrote this song. And he would always start the song, like the music would start, right? And you'd get the beat. And he would always say, all right, people. He'd say, one of the best ways that we can prove that we love the Lord is by giving. Prove that you love the Lord by giving. And he would start singing. Give in love, give in faith. Give with joy and a smile on your face. Really? Not begrudgingly? Well, we'll get to that. Give as the Lord has given to you. How you give is a reflection of your gratitude. I'm doing it as if I'm singing. Sorry about that. Then, from your heart, give your best. Give unto God, and you will be blessed. Don't be stingy. No, don't be stingy, and don't be tight. Learn from the widow in the Bible who gave her last dime. Then the bridge of the song says, people rob God when they don't give tithes and offerings. And they don't understand why they've been cut off from heavenly blessings. But abundant life and prosperity begins when you prove your love to God by giving to him. See, scripture does say, good measure. A good measure. When Jesus talks about the measure you use, he means like, if you get a big scoop or cup that's completely full, then guess what? You're going to receive that back. And if you give a tiny little scoop or just a pinch to God, you'll get that back. The blessing is directly related to the giving. And that's what Paul is teaching to us in 2 Corinthians. So, if you have your Bibles or your phone app to the Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also sow generously. Okay, so the Greek word for the word sparingly is, gotta try this, phaedomenos. But what it means, what sparingly is trying to get across is it's in a scanty or meager manner. So it's like that pinch. But we want to be generous, and we want to sow so that there is blessing. Now, when you sow your field and you put in as little seed as possible, the harvest will be little. And when you sow your field with the maximum harvest in mind, then you don't scrimp on the seed, do you? Because you know that what you give will come back to you manyfold. Too many times we give out a sense of poverty and loss rather than a full cup. So are you giving with a full cup in mind? Or are you giving with a tiny scoop or a pinch? So church, I ask you today, what is your attitude in giving? You know, we don't talk a lot in this church about giving and money and... But this week, we are. I worked with a pastor, and when I worked at London Gospel Temple in Ontario, so a former pastor that I worked with, his name was Bob Smith. He is an awesome guy. And one of the things that he would say is, giving is worship unto the Lord. And all acts of worship begin with a choice. Giving is worship to the Lord. So when we take tithes and offering, you don't want to see it as give to the church. We're not going to be mean about it. No, it's worship. It's something that extends from here. Okay, I want to try something, and I will need a little bit of help. But first... I like doing object lessons, and I guess that's why I'm a children's pastor. And see, when we see this lovely cake, and we look at our responsibilities financially, we can compare it to this cake. Well, how's that, Pastor Nicole? Well, this cake represents your money. And each piece is going to represent a household expense, okay? So we're going to base this on a family, okay? So a family household's expenses. And when I say family, I'm going to say, oh, that's good. That's really good. Okay. I'm going to say that the family has a mom and a dad, and they have two children, okay? So I had asked for some help, so I need Cademan and Nicola, and here's my daughter. Yeah, yeah, please help. Yeah, back there. Yep, come on up. And Katrina, that'd be awesome. Oh, yeah, now I see who it is. All right, let's put our hands together for our volunteers. They have no idea what they're going to be doing. So just come on, stand over here. Okay. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a piece and maybe what, it's a nice size piece. Look at that. Yeah, if you end up with a piece, make sure that, I don't think you can, it might have peanuts in it. So don't accept it if someone gives it to you. But Cademan, I'm wondering if maybe... I think Don Wolf is here. Don, raise your hand. Okay, Cademan, can you take that over to Don? Okay, so let's pretend we've taken one piece of our household budget or mortgage, and it's going towards a car payment, gas, or maybe if they had to buy like a compass card, that portion of their budget is that piece of cake, okay? All right, now this next piece... it's frustrating, but, oh, and I have happy birthday napkins, if anybody, maybe just give them a happy birthday napkin. Okay, you know, I think your mom needs a piece. Maybe go give your mom a piece. And that's she's over there. And that's to represent our mortgage. How many love paying for our house? Our mortgage, oh. Yeah, it takes a big chunk of our money, doesn't it? And what'd she do? Did you have a piece? Yeah, I know, sorry. The chocolate got on my finger, so hold on. Okay, so Dawn's got a car payment, gas, and Michelle's got the mortgage, and then now we got another piece here, and man, we gotta pay for groceries. Can you find a friend or a visitor? Just find someone out there and give them a piece. And that is going to be our budget for groceries, okay? It's amazing when you have a piece of cake how many friends you have, right? Okay. And then now we also have to have, we got to pay for our phone bill and our entertainment, right? That part of the budget's the fun part. And when we do that, we also have to think of how many times we eat out in a month, how many times we go to the movies or we celebrate a birthday. We've got to have that much money for it, right? And so let's do one of our single moms. You know what, Melissa, right there. Let's go, give her a napkin. Yeah, she, okay. So we got to think about that in our budget, right? So we've got car payment, mortgage, groceries, phone bill and entertainment. Okay, now, because these guys were so good, I'm going to give you, okay, ooh, there's a little bit there, and here we go. Well, we got to pay our utilities. So, I don't know who was first. Kamen, were you first? Yeah. Okay, so Kamen, you can actually have that. You can go sit down. So you, thank you for helping me. You are taking care of the utility bill this month for us, okay? And then, Katrina, you were next. And I promised if these guys helped me, I'd give them cake, literally. Okay, because we have children, we have to pay for school trips, we gotta pay for sports teams, so tutoring, diapers. Oh my goodness, I was thankful, so thankful when my last kid was potty trained because we didn't have to buy diapers anymore, yeah! I'm the only one, really? Parents? Yeah, like it was fantastic. Okay, and then, you know, if in your budget you're like, I totally can't relate, I don't have kids. Okay, let's take it so that maybe you have a pet. Okay, everybody's got a pet, right? Okay, so maybe you have to pay for either the children's stuff or the pets. Like, pets can be expensive. They've got vaccines, they've got sickness or problems, the food, the toys for the pets, right? So, there you go. Okay, so thank you for your help. And then now we've got to pay for, I better give you the bigger piece. Sorry, Nicola. Let's see here. Okay, let's do this. Okay, so now we gotta pay for, what do I got here? Our savings or our debt repayment. Like some of us just went to school and maybe we have a lot of debts, right? And so with our savings or our debt repayment, we might have an RSP or maybe for our kids, we might need like an RESP. Oh, so much to pay for, right? And meanwhile, Larry's happy because he's getting all the financial stuff going on here. Thank you very much. And then Nicola, I got to give you a piece too. So now, one of the other things in our budget that we cannot forget about is, you know what? Miscellaneous stuff just comes up, doesn't it? And it ruins your budget. But you've got to pay for clothing or shoes or like yesterday. I sort of dropped my computer, and my cord got broken, and had to buy a new cord. So, thank you very much for all my helpers. So, here's the thing, yeah. And sorry, I didn't have enough for everybody, but I know you're salivating. But I'm sure it's going to be really good cake as they eat it during service, and that's okay. And not too much talking over there, because I know you're going to be like, give me a piece. Anyways, okay. So the whole point of this is. Our budget is done, but you know, I really wanted to try this cake, and there's a few crumbs left and a little bit of chocolate, and I really have to scrimp on it because the chocolate just fell off, and it's really good. Okay,
Oh my goodness, that's good.
I think it was like caramel or something, dulce de leche, or Spanish people, I'm sorry, I cannot speak Spanish. But I tried. Okay, so as I'm cleaning up here, here's the thing. There's our budget, but that's all we got for God. That's all we've got. We've got crumbs. I cut it into 8 pieces. I think I covered most of the expenses. When we don't give God his share first, the possibility is greater that he won't get anything but crumbs or what is just left over. When I do it like that, and I split my budget up like that, I'm robbing God. God should be first in our giving. That first piece of cake should have been, God, here you go. And really, that first piece of cake was a tithe, but God also says tithes and offerings. And all I've got is crumbs for my tithes and offerings? Before we spend any money each month, we need to set aside the portion due to God first. Even when things are tough. Yep, even when things are tough. And I'm glad I'm hearing a lot of amen, and that's right for that. Because that tells me that people have understood that concept and they have walked through that and they say, yes, even when times are tough, we gave first to God and we saw the increase. He got us through. There is nothing better than to be obedient to God. And we have the opportunity each week or each month, depending on how you distribute your tithes and offering, to show God how much we love him by giving of our tithes. And when we don't give him the full 10%, or we give to him his portion last, of course, after we've spent our money on the things that we want, right? I guess we really could have not gone out to eat, or maybe we really didn't have to buy that new piece of clothing, or, you know, you can make all your exceptions. But we don't want to give God leftovers. I never want to be accused of giving God my leftover. Thanks, God, I really love you, but sorry, this week or this month, just didn't spend my money too well. I'll get you next month. There was an article that I read. It's called Tithing is of the Lord by Dan Hope. And it said, a safe rule is to be fair and honest with God. Don't pay your bills and then tithe what's left. Our debts should come out of our own pockets and not out of God's. Yeah. Another man named Robert Butler says that developing a culture of generosity doesn't happen overnight. It happens over the long haul, meaning it takes steps. Meaning to increase your tithe, Brian, it took time. And you saw God move in giving, in an offering, maybe to missions or something that's happening in the church. You give a little at first, but then you see, wow, there's a blessing in that, so maybe I can try and increase the next time. It takes a while. But unfortunately, the history of the church shows us that over time, pride and selfishness creep in. And people begin to believe that they were responsible for their own good fortune, so they refused to give God what he truly deserves. You're not where you are because of what you did. So our text today is in 2 Corinthians. And if we were to, chapter 9, and if we were to go back a little bit, just to give you a little bit of history or what's going on in chapter 7 and 8, Paul is thankful for the coming of a man named Titus. And Paul encourages the people that he's talking to be generous in their offering that Titus is going to come and collect for the people of the Lord. as they've already been. And 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7 says that they already excel in everything, in faith, in speech, and in knowledge, and in complete earnestness. He says, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. But then chapter 9 is introduced. And where we go to verse 6, and I'm going to read from the Message. That's what's up on the screen. It says, remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop, and a lavish planter gets a lavish crop. We read that. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give, because that will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. And you know, if I stop there for a minute, that's where the church has kind of been known for our televangelists, right? Their sob stories, their arm twisting. But God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. Or as the NIV says, God loves a cheerful giver. Paul is saying that as you prepare to give, I don't want you to be under any kind of pressure to give. Why don't you want to be under pressure to give? Well, because pressure does not produce good fruit. And I'll tell you this. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. If we read in the Amplified Version, it says, with an Amplified Version, it'll give you like one of the words, and then it'll say, here's what else it means, or other words that you could use, okay? So 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, it says, let each one thoughtfully and with purpose. So when we go to, what am I going to give, Lord? Tithe and offering, morsel for offering. Let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose what he has decided in his heart, or he's already made up his mind, or he's already reached a decision beforehand. And it's not grudgingly or with compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. Man, when I give my tither offering and I put it in the basket, if my heart is delighted as I give it, he sees that. But if I'm like, oh, here you go, God, he sees that too. You should give because you've thought it through. Christian giving should be motivated by thoughtfulness and love for Jesus, not by guilt or greed or pressure. Now, Paul talks about two motivations that are wrong for giving. And the first one would be reluctance. To give reluctantly, to give grudgingly. Dr. Ralph Wilson says, if you're giving but really don't want to, stop. Giving out of inner reluctance isn't real worship anyway. It's conforming outwardly to someone's expectations for us, where worship is an inward response of love to God. Romans 12, verse 2, it says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Another wrong motive is to give when it is under pressure, under compulsion or constraint. We don't use guilt at this church to motivate you to give in the offering. Someone said, people who give reluctantly or under pressure never give much anyways. That's true. You won't give much because your heart is not there. It's not in it. And you know what? There's another wrong motivation. It's fear. One of the greatest obstacles to giving is fear. Fear that if we give to God, we won't have enough for ourselves. Fear is the opposite of faith. When we have faith that God will supply all our needs, that's when we give without fear. The word this morning, it spoke of putting on the coat of faith. Well, if you have fear, put that coat on and zip it up and trust God. Because God looks at our hearts, and he's looking for a heart that's cheerful because it gives to God and to his work. Cheerful, or hilaros in the Greek, is being full of cheer, glad, happy, without reluctance. And 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 says, God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything. More than just ready to do what needs to be done. Let's go to verse 10. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something that you can then give away. Or as in another version it says, that will enlarge the harvest, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, on every occasion, producing us great praise to God, or thanksgiving to God. So here's a question. How does God supply or grant seed to the sower? How does he give that seed to us? By giving a harvest that's large enough so there's not only enough bread for our tomorrows, but also enough seed to plant in the next year's crop. He works forward. The farmer sows the seed, God gives the increase. God will not only supply you seed, but multiply your store of seed. God is not increasing your general wealth so that you have more than you need, but he's increasing your seed so you have more to give for kingdom purposes. See, it's a roundabout. It keeps happening. But if you go to verse 11, it says, you will be made rich. Rich? Woo! Let's read the whole context. You will be made rich or caused to abound in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So he gives to you and I so that we can be generous, that we can be liberal, that we can be bountiful on every occasion. The point is not about accumulating wealth. It's God blessing you so that you'll have enough and you can continue to give generously. So in light of our study of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I saw a really interesting article by a man named Howard Strickland that I've adapted for you today. So I want you to think like a farmer, okay? Pretend I have my overalls on and my farmer's hat, and I got a piece of straw or wheat hanging out my side, right? And we're going to talk like a farmer. I won't talk like that. So here are five things that farmers don't forget. The first thing you learn about farming is you'll never see a farmer who refuses to plant seeds sitting around expecting to have a harvest. Refuses to plant seed expecting a harvest? He's not going to get a harvest unless he first plants seeds. And a farmer doesn't refuse to plant seeds. On the contrary, he has to plant them liberally, right? Because some of them won't work. And he knows that, so he has to liberally give. We see this principle in the Old Testament if we go to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, and TLB means the Living Bible. And it is possible to give away and become richer. It is, because that's not the way the world thinks. If I give stuff away, I'm going to lose. But that's not what God's saying. He's saying it is also possible to hold on too tightly and lose everything. Yes, the liberal man shall be rich. By watering others, he waters himself. I love that. By blessing others, I'm going to be blessed. Number two, you'll never see a farmer eat the seed that he should be planting. You know, it's planting day and he's sitting there eating the seed. No. If a farmer's going to reap a harvest, he knows he's got to start with the seed, not his need. Meaning, is that farmer hungry? Did he leave the crumbs to the end in his budget? He must give the seeds to the ground to get a blessing. But giving is not about getting. It's generosity begets generosity. And some of us approach God from a need standpoint. I can't give to the Lord because I got to pay these bills. Farmers don't say, I can't plant this seed because I'm hungry right now. Even though it's tempting to eat your seed, You have to sow that seed into the ground anyways. Number three, when a farmer plants his seed instead of eating it, it's an act of faith that his seed will turn into a harvest. So harvest takes time. So we got to watch, we got to pray, we got to wait, and then we got to reap. And that's why Paul wrote 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And it says, so that there will not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. Number four, again, if we're thinking like a farmer, the thing you want to reap must be the thing that you sow. Sometimes we plant weeds and expect roses. And again, a farmer doesn't sow corn and expect, I think I'm going to get potatoes. Right? He says, so that you can give more fruit from your harvest. So here's the thing. Next week, when you have your tither offering in your hand, just as we're calling for the offering to be taken, I want you to put that in your hand, close your eyes, and pray over it. Or when you're at home and you're choosing to write out that check or deciding, or maybe you're going online with a text to give the new church app, maybe you're doing it that way, pray over it first. And ask the Lord's blessing. And then, even if it's for a moment, worship and thank him for all that he's given you. Because it's like the seed is planted, it has to die before it begins to grow. But then we need to water it, and then we need to look after it. And then as we do, the harvest comes. So rejoice when the harvest comes in, because it is he that has multiplied it. It was he that listened to your prayers as you prayed over your tithe and offering. Because guess what? You had a part in that harvest. You invested fully. Now, there's one final principle that we need to understand, and I know my time is going. We reap what we sow, and then we reap some more. What are you talking about, Pastor Nicole? Well, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11 says, yes, God will give you much, so that you can give away much. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will break out into thanksgiving and praise to God for your help. Have you ever had God say, you know what, that neighbor just needs a little something. Maybe you could bake some cookies for them. And you take it over and they're like, oh, that's so awesome. And it was like you were giving them $1,000 and you're just giving them your cookies, right? Or maybe you bought groceries for somebody one day, or maybe you gave some money to somebody, or maybe you bought a coffee for the next person in the lineup behind you. I love when that happens. Like if you're at Tim Hortons or Starbucks, and somebody goes, oh no, it's free, and you're like, what? Somebody paid for you already. Like, pay it forward. Those are fantastic things. And that's when I sit there and go, thank you, Lord. Because it was he that provided it. I break out into praise. And yeah, it's only a coffee, but some days you need your coffee, right, people? Right? Okay, amen. So think about this. Your gift will make others happy and cause them to praise God. And your gift takes away any foothold of greed or thought of even being stingy. And you find freedom in giving. And guess what? You get more mature in Christ. Whoa, just because I gave. Okay, well, I know our time's going, but I just cannot forget to take a few moments to talk to just a few parents and say this. We need to teach our kids, and I was saying to you, how to give and be cheerful givers. So let's start teaching our children early that when they do those babysitting times, or cutting those lawns, or whatever else it is, there are a few ways that we can teach our children practically to be cheerful givers. Like, see, there's two kinds of kids. There's those who will gladly give you their very last fruit snack, and then there's those who would rather poke at your eye than to give you that last fruit snack, right? Come on, you were all there. Yeah, some of you guys are, yeah, thank you, Paul. Okay, so number one, give in the offering themselves.
Here's the thing. They need to know, maybe they're only 2 years old, maybe they're six, maybe they've got no jobs yet, but guess what? A nickel goes a long way.
We have an offering plate upstairs at the spa check-in desk. And parents, give your kid a nickel and see how they can praise the Lord by being cheerful givers. That's not a lot of money each week. I'm not asking you to give your life or your tithe to the spa kids. I'm saying try starting them giving when they are young. Another thing is you can give not just money, but you can give in a food drive, right? Get your kids to give to a food bank or see if there's a way to remind them to be cheerful. Or when your child is in their teens, you can go to night shift with them. It's just down the street and feed some hungry people. And it is a fantastic way for your kids to all of a sudden be thankful for what they have. Okay, what about packing an extra snack in their lunch? I know, you know what, sometimes they don't encourage us at schools, but here's the thing. Your kids have a way of opening up to another kid who is hungry and says, you know what, my mom gave me this. I've got an extra one. Do you want it? And I'll tell you something, it's not just for your elementary kids, but your high school students too. Pack one so that they can be a blessing to their friends. Okay, make sure it's not free, by the way. Clothing drives. Clothing drives are fantastic for kids to give away and go through their closet and take stuff out. And you know what? Pack it up and give it to the kid down the street that's just a little bit younger, a little bit smaller. It's a blessing. When you've got lots of children and they don't have much clothes, or maybe your budget doesn't go very far, that's huge. Here's another thing. Hats and mitts at wintertime. When they have drives like that, be a part of that. Samaritan's Purse or Boxes of Love or anything like that, that they can be a part of going, even if it's with their own money and buying a few things, to give towards somebody else. That's teaching them how to be a cheerful giver. Okay, so the question is, how are you managing your own money and finances that God has entrusted to you? Here's the thing. It takes hard obedience. And this is my last slide. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. You show your gratitude through your generous offerings to your needy brothers and sisters, and really toward everyone. Meanwhile, I love how this is said. It's in the message. Moved by your extravagance of God in your life, they'll respond by praying for you in passionate intercession for whatever you need. They'll respond because they've seen you give in an extravagant way. You've gone out of your way to bake those cookies. You've gone out of your way to be a part of a food drive or a clothing drive. You have done something that is cheerful to give in a bountiful way to someone who doesn't have that. And when you give and your tithes and offering and you cheerfully do it, you see that the programs here and the ministries here thrive. So what kind of giver are you? Do you show your gratitude to God through your generous offerings and tithes as you are moved by the extravagance of God? Well, you know what? That's the type of giver that I want to be. Can you stand to your feet? The other musicians are coming. We took a few more minutes to speak on giving, tithes, and offering, but here's the thing I hope you really heard today. In whatever you give, we know that we need to be obedient. But also, it starts with your heart, the right attitude. If you've heard nothing else today, hear those two things. Your right attitude and your right heart in how you give is important to God.